alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are recording. All right. Today we're going to talk about one of the names of Allah, which is Razzaq. Or actually, Ar-Razzaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most accused when he divides the shares between his slaves, or like between us. Most accused. Because if you don't have a lot of shares, then you're angry, saying, well, this guy has more than I have, and he's... This guy has more than I have, and he is blah, blah, bad person. And then, oh, this person is a king, and he's disgusting. And, Ya Allah, I deserve better than that. You made me poor. I deserve better than that. Ya Allah, he doesn't need a car. And I'm in the desperate need of a car. How come I don't have a car? Ya Allah, complaining and nagging. So when it comes to dividing the shares among people, the shares of money, of wealth among people, when it comes to that, Allah is very much accused. Have you ever thought about that somebody has better than what you have? Was there an incident where you could just mad? Allah has not given you what you deserve. You feel that way? Like what? You want to share? If you don't want to share, that's fine. Okay, that's fine. Huh?
How go ahead, stop, Trump stop.
Just
is
a minute.
So
huh?
Just like
I can't remember a particular.
Okay, that's fine.
Like how Donald Trump is rich, spoiled, and like all the negative things in the world, and like how there are such good people out there who are on the street starving, and how some people are so rich and some people are so poor.
But how about yourself?
When I try hard and then I don't get my best grade on the test.
Have you ever seen a house better than your house and then you said, oh man.
I don't have a marriage yet.
Huh? Oh man, I wish I had this house. Did you feel that Allah? Did you get angry at Allah?
No.
Or get upset? It's like, why didn't you give me that? I deserve better than that. You ba 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 ba. You know, the people, there are people like that. There are people who complain like that. And there are people who are mad at Allah that He did not give them what they think they deserve. So they say, we deserve this and this and that, and you didn't give us anything. And then in Egypt, there is a very bad saying that says, Allah gives the earrings to the one who doesn't have ears. Allah gives the earrings to the one who don't have ears, which means that Allah doesn't know what He's doing, basically. He doesn't know what He's doing. He's just in a random... sort of not smart way is giving things to the people who don't deserve it. No. Everything is according to a measured amount. When Allah creates you, He creates your rizq with you. So you and your rizq together. Okay? Rizq, shares of life. Rizq is shares of life. So money is rizq. Money is risk.
Happiness
is risk. Happiness is risk. Kids are risk. Can you think having a good husband is a risk? You never know what kind of husband you're going to have. Okay? We say in Egypt, marriage is like buying a watermelon. Watermelon. That you don't know what's inside. So from outside, you take the watermelon and keep hitting it like that. You're trying to hear what's going on inside, whether it's a good... Some people are able to tell by hearing the echo of the, like, slapping with the hand. But they say marriage is like that. You never find the truth until you cut cut the watermelon. So you actually marry to find out. Because during the time of engagement, everybody kinds of act, sort of. Like people are not showing their nature. So the ugly face, you won't see the ugly face until after marriage. You know? So everything is risk. Everything is risk. So Allah divides the shares among us. Do we have a say on how? Do we have a say on how much should we get?
Kind of. Like when we do dua, that might affect our risk a bit, but then it's Allah makes the decision on how, if you deserve that.
Exactly. Allah assigns your risk in heavens, but He can increase it. Like somebody lives 80 years, has more risk than somebody who lives 60 years, right? So your lifespan is also a risk. So Allah will assign you a certain risk, okay? Now, with good deeds, you can increase the risk. You pray, you gain more risk. You stand up for the truth, you gain more risk. You lie, you get less risk. You cheat, you get less risk. So you are deprived. The Prophet ﷺ said, a person would be deprived of risk because of the disobedience that he or she is doing. Ayla. Ayla? Ayla. Ayla, right? What's your name? Hamika, right? I just thought you were Muslim. So just pay attention. Okay? All right. So Allah assigns you a risk, and then based on your information, based on your deeds, Allah will increase your risk or decrease your risk. There was a hadith that says that there is a guy whose time for death, the angel of death, it's time for him to die. So the angel of death and his records, time, this guy should die right now. So when he's about to go down and take his life, another angel tells him, no, not now. Allah give him 10 years extra because he was nice to his parents. So just for being nice to your parents, Allah gave you 10 years extra. Okay? By being nice to your parents, Allah will give you 10 years extra. Okay? All right. Why didn't Allah make everybody rich? Okay, let's see.
Because it's a test, right? So, because, like, if everyone's rich, they can do whatever they want. Also, if everyone's rich, they sort of forget about Allah, because when you have more money, you want more things, and you look at people who are above you rather than below you. So then you sort of forget about Allah because you think that He's not giving you what you deserve.
Because if you're rich, you won't be thankful for what you have. And if you're poor, then like whatever you get, you're going to be thankful.
Mm-hmm. Any other shares, thoughts?
I mean, like she said, it's like a test.
It's like a test, yeah. You know how people are ranked into a pyramid?
Yes.
This is the risk. Allah does not give everybody. Allah doesn't want to make everybody rich. Otherwise, according to what He said in the Quran, we will turn into spoiled brats. If you ask your father or your parents for something and they give you for things and they give you everything you ask for, you become spoiled brat. Like I remember the story of this boy. He was a young boy, and then his parents gave him everything. He gave him credit card. They bought him a nice car. Give him a credit card, spend whatever he wants to spend. And you're shaking your head, huh? Started. Oh, wow. And they gave him a phone. On these days when he got the phone, cell phones were really expensive. Really, it was not like now. It was back then. It was really expensive. So they gave him nice car, nice this, nice that. Okay? And and then he's not doing well in college. So they were complaining. So I said, well, guys, you are giving him everything. There's no motive for him to study. I mean, why would he push himself hard and study and, you know, do the homework and give himself a headache? He has the credit card, he has the car, he has the freedom, he has everything someone is working for to get, working hard to get. So to him, there's no motives. So why should he go through the trouble? So they realized that and they started taking away things from him. Okay? And he was so mad, but, you know, they made it that way so that he's motivated to study, so that he is on his own. Okay? So, go ahead.
There was like another story. There was this man, and probably one of us knew the man, and he was like a very, like, he was very religious, but he literally had like no money at all. And then one day, like, the man asked him, oh, can, like, why can't I get money and all this stuff? And then Imam said that, oh, you shouldn't get money because it can, like,
ruin you.
Yeah, it can ruin you. And then he was like, no, I'll be a good person. So then Imam prayed to Allah, and then the man got rich. So, and then he forgot about Allah and everyone. So when Imam went to him to tell him about Allah and how he should, like, actually believe in Allah and pray and stuff, the man said he didn't know who he was, and he, like, kicked him out of his house.
This is story of Thu'aylaba. Thu'aylaba. His name is Thu'aylaba. But you said the story that I was about to say today. That's right. That's right. Okay, so a guy was nagging with the Prophet to pray for Allah to bring him, to make him bring money, to give, make him rich. The Prophet ﷺ had a vision. So he saw that this guy is not going to be able to thank Allah for what he has if he's rich. So he told him, right now, anything you do is accepted from you as thanking. But when you become rich, your thanking is going to be way much more. You're obligated to thank Allah way much more because you're rich. You're held to the standard of your level. So you're held accountable for your wealth. If rich, then to thank Allah, you pay a lot of money. If you're poor, to thank Allah, you pay very little money. If you have to pay even anything, you know, you don't have to pay anything, but you can pay a little bit of money, okay, and then you'll be fine. The Prophet ﷺ said, $1,000, $100,000, yeah. He said, in the past day's currency, which is dinar, the Prophet ﷺ said, 1,000 dinar, one dinar was more rewarded by Allah than 100,000 dinar. So he said, $1 in charity was more loved and appreciated by Allah than 100,000. So the Sahaba says, well, how come? So he said, a guy has $2. He donated one. The other guy has millions of dollars. He donated 100,000. So for the first guy, he donated 50% of his money. 50% of his money. Okay, so wow, that's a lot. That's good. Even though it's just $1. But yeah, that's 50%. That's very good. The other guy is like Bill Gates, for example. You take 100,000 from Bill Gates, it's like taking 1 cent away from you. Not even 1 cent. Yeah, it's just like 100,000 is nothing. It's like one fraction of like billions for the money he has. Okay, so this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so when you ask to be rich, better you know what you're doing for. I know a person, okay, who is, when he was poor, his zakah was like $50, $100, maybe $1,000 at most. And it was easy on him to just give the zakah. That much money is not really very painful. Then he became a millionaire. And his zakah became like $1 million a year. This is how rich he became. If you have $40 million, your zakah is going to be $1 million a year. So he was asking the sheikh. He was saying, sheikh, how much zakah do I have? So the sheikh asked him, how much money you have in your saving account for more than a year? He said, I have about $40 million. He said, then your zakah is $1 million. He said, what? Are you out of your mind? You want me to pay $1 million as zakat? I thought just like the donations I give here and the donations I give there are enough. So he said, the sheikh said, no, you do the math. It's 1/4 of the 1/10, which is 2.5%. So if you have 40 million, 2.5% is 1 million, right? So this is exactly what happened to this guy. He kept nagging, please pray to Allah to make me rich. Please, 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 please. Prophet, please. The Prophet said, huh, right now you have enough. Right now you can thank Allah easy. You don't know what you're asking for. He said, please, 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 please. To the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he nagged with the Prophet, so the Prophet prayed for Allah, ya Allah, give him money. So Allah gave him money. He started disappearing from the masjid. He was, before he was called the bird of the masjid. Bird of the masjid means like staying in the masjid. Like homeless people stay in the masjid all the time. So now, he started disappearing from the masjid. He started missing prayers. He started missing asr. He started missing dhuhr. He started missing maghrib. He started missing isha. He started missing all five prayers, but not missing al-jum'ah. Then he starts even missing al-jum'ah. So the Prophet asked about him. They said he's very busy making money. Very busy taking care of his business and raising and increasing his wealth. He was like very greedy and very busy. He could not just let the money or let the business and go back and go and pray. He couldn't. Okay. So now, so far, it wasn't that bad. Then the Prophet sent him the zakah collector. You know the zakah collector? The one who collects the zakah from the rich and give it to the poor. So the zakah collector went to get his zakah from him. So he got so mad and he said, tell your friend Muhammad that these are nothing but taxes of slavery. Your awful, unfair taxes. So the guy said, my friend Muhammad, isn't he your friend too? He said, no, it's not my friend. So then when the Prophet was told the story, the Prophet said, Thu'aylabah, halaka Thu'aylabah. Halaka Thu'aylabah means Thu'aylabah, his name, that's his name, Thu'aylabah, destroyed himself. So if Allah makes us all together, who's going to pick up the strawberry if we all rich? Who's going to pick up the strawberry for us from the farm? Who's going to pick the banana? Who's going to clean the trash? You know? So there has to be a pyramid structure where you can find people in the bottom, okay, so that they can do the tasks that nobody else, the rich people, will not do. So life on earth will turn into hell. That's what Allah said in the Quran. The earth would be so corrupt, so badly corrupt, if he will make everybody rich. So he says, I send down rizq by a measured amount, very wisely measured amount. He said, go ahead.
So is it like everyone has equal rizq, but in different ways? Like one person, a rich person might live 20 years, but then a poor person may live 5 times longer, even though they have 1/5 the wealth. Is it like everyone has equal risk?
No. Allah says in the Quran that He gives more risk to people than others. وَفَضَّلَ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ فِي الرِّزْقِ, meaning that someone will have less risk, someone will have more risk. That's what He decided. So people are born with quotes and quotes equal rights, but not equal opportunities. So some people are born rich, others are not. Some people are born with all fame and money that you and me are dying for, and others are starving to death. Somebody's dying because he doesn't have a 50 cent medication. A medication that's 50 cents, he doesn't have those 50 cents. So he's dying because his life is worth 50 cents. He can't find the 50 cents. On the other hand, somebody eats money and wastes money left and right. Like in Las Vegas, every day they throw away 200 tons of food from the open buffets. 200 tons of food are thrown away every day in Las Vegas. You believe it? It's that much. And also we throw away things in the ocean to keep the price up. Okay. So Allah is saying, it's a part of the test to make people rich and poor. For zakah, I mean, if everybody's rich, there will be no need for zakah. Okay? For testing us, it wouldn't work if we're all rich. There would be no test. And we'll all be corrupt because there would be no test because we'll all be bad when we all people on earth is rich. Now, why, you might ask yourself, okay, why Allah not making the good people rich, the believers rich, and the non-believers poor? Huh?
Well, I mean, in one way, the non-believers will be like, oh, how come the Muslims are all rich? So everyone would convert eventually, not for the sake of Allah, but for the sake of the money. So that could be one reason. And the second reason is the believers wouldn't be tested. Like, it would be like, if everyone's rich, everyone would be happy, and then there would be no pain, and yeah.
You got it. Go ahead. You said it exactly the way I wanted to say it. You want to add?
If the believers are rich, then they have to go through more tests and have more responsibility than the people, than the non-believers who are not, who are rich.
Okay. How about you? You want to add something?
Well, I was going to say something.
Okay. Exactly what she said is right, which is that if Allah will make the poor people, the non-believers poor and the believers rich, then when somebody becomes a believer, they would do that for the money. They wouldn't do that because they love Allah. They would do it for the money. So everybody would want to become a believer so that he gets more money, he becomes rich. And this will kind of refutes or defy the purpose, we call it? Defy the purpose? Mm-hmm. Defy the purpose, which is like a test. Okay? So why are you believing? Because you want the money or because you want the thing? What's the second thing you mentioned?
I mentioned how like the rich really won't have tests anymore because they'll all be happy. So, I mean, if everyone's happy,
that's right.
Okay.
Now, then why not the other way around? Since the believers are having Jannah, why don't Allah make them poor in this life, make the good believers poor, and make the believers poor and the non-believers rich? Why Allah is not doing that?
Huh? Because then we have the believers who are poor will then become non-believers because they just want the money.
Yes. Which, if I may add to what you said, everybody on earth would turn out to be a non-believer. Allah says in the Quran also that if Allah would make only believers, makes believers poor and non-believers rich, okay, the corruption will spread. Everybody will become non-believer. Eventually, everybody would become a non-believer.
And basically, if like even if you think that you believe in Allah and that you're rich, you're gonna be like, wait, why am I rich? Am I doing something wrong? And then it's gonna like become like you're gonna be like, oh, I think I'm doing something wrong. That's why I'm rich. But you, so it's gonna be like a hassle. So even if you are a believer and you're rich, you might be doing something wrong, and then you're gonna stop doing that wrong thing, and then it's not a test anymore.
Yes, there will. If I may add to just what you said. Is that if, first of all, there will be a motive for everybody to quit being a believer. So many people will quit being believers because of the money. That's number one. Number two, the people that hold power will be non-believers, right? The non-believers will be the ones who hold power. And then the believers will be weak. Okay? So guess what happens when the powerful people are non-believers and people, the weak people are believers. What happens? They will, with time, force the believers, sort of force them to be non-believers. Like if you have a bad president, okay? So people are turning to be, a lot of people will become bad just because the president is bad. If you have a good president, a lot of people will turn good just because of the president is good. And you have examples of that. When the leader becomes a Muslim, the entire tribe becomes Muslims. So it's really because of the directions or because of they follow the leaders. Okay? All right. So we said that our shares are pre-assigned. They are pre-assigned. Then what is if the shares are pre-assigned in heavens? Then where is the test? So if our shares are pre-assigned in heaven, where is the test?
The test is how we use our shares.
MashaAllah, that's right. How do we get our shares? In other words, would be more accurate. How to get our shares? If your risk is pre-assigned, and what's your name?
Maham.
Maham, right. If your risk is pre-assigned, then what is where is the test? The test means that if your risk is pre-assigned, what is the test? The test will be how do you get your wealth? I'll give you an example. Remember the story of Ali ibn Abi Talib? When he had a camel, he trusted someone with the camel. You know that story? You know that story? And the guy stole the camel. So Ali ibn Abi Talib said, Wallahi, I wanted to give him the camel as a gift. If he would have waited, he would have gotten the same camel as a gift, not as a haram.
It's really like you can't just wait for to get your shares, like just like become lazy or something, just so you can get your shares faster. You have to do some work to actually get your shares.
Yes, but it's up to you. How do you want to get your shares? Halal way or haram way? If you get haram way, then it's the same share. If you're determined, see, this is how you become a good guy. Okay? If you're determined in the back there, Ayla, you're still doodling? Okay. If you're determined to be a good guy, that's an envelope, right? That's an envelope? Okay, so pay attention. If you're determined not to get your money the haram way, so you're telling everybody, you're telling yourself, I am none. I am not going to get my share the haram way. Then there will be no other choice except to get it the halal way. So the same exact rizq, just like the camel. You want to get it the haram way? Then it's against you. You want to get it the halal way? Then it is good for you. You understand? So here is the test. Your test is to decide how you're going to get your shares, halal way or haram way. For example, just as an example, pain is a risk, right? Pain is a risk. So it is up to you. How do you want to get your pain? Smart believers get their pain into prayers and fasting. Okay, let's say fasting, for example. Fasting is painful, right? It's painful. Nobody can say other than that. Okay, especially in summer. Last summer was like long days and it was hard to fast. So, fasting. Is it painful or not painful? It's painful. So if somebody says, okay, I am not going to fast because to escape the pain, to avoid the pain. I'm not going to fast to avoid the pain. So now remember, his shares of pain are pre-assigned. So Allah will give him the pain in a different way. Okay? Allah will give him the pain through, for example, just as an example, a nagging spouse, a mean husband, mean wife, nagging wife, terrible husband, terrible son, terrible daughter. Allah will give him a lot of pain in a different way. Maybe cancer. Maybe, you know, diabetes. I mean, there's a lot of ways. There are lots of ways. Lots of ways. Okay? Allah can give him the pain. So the smart guy didn't fast to avoid the pain. Hello, Mr. Smart. Hello, Mr. Smart. You will get the pain in another way. So you close one door of pain, Allah opens another one for you. But if your pain is coming from praying and fasting, it comes with hasanat. If your pain coming from otherwise, it doesn't come with hasanat. So, how do you want your pain to be? Choose your pain. Okay? Both of you, take it, take it. Choose your pain. Now, drugs, I cleaned everything. Can you draw the curve for the drugs and happiness?
Okay.
If your happiness is be assigned shares of happiness, let's say Allah assigned you 100 shares of happiness, okay? And you use drugs. So when you use drugs, you bring the happiness in the future. You're borrowing from your happiness in the future. So, basically, so this is happiness, and this is time. Let's say Allah assigns you your happiness like this. Okay? So it goes up, it goes down, but it's pretty much a round, stable thing. If you do drugs, then you're borrowing happiness from your drugs. You're borrowing your happiness from your future. You think you're smart, you're getting more happiness? No, sir. No. No, ma'am. Nope. You're not getting any more happiness. You're borrowing from your future happiness. And this is true. What happens to the people who become addicted? They become miserable. After a while here, okay? You know, even though they are taking the drugs, but they are miserable. Why? Because it's just not doesn't work anymore. The body will get used to the drugs. So it doesn't give you a pleasure anymore. However, you have to take it to cut down your pain. Because if you don't take it, there's a lot of pain. Okay? Because you became an addict. Right? You became addicted to this. So, but if you take it, it doesn't help you anymore because your body got used to it. At the same time, if you don't take it, you'll have so much pain. So now you're going to live miserable for the rest of your life. So you're not smart. You're just borrowing the happiness from the future. By doing drugs, you're borrowing the happiness from the future. Yes?
We learned in one of our classes that there's like a lot of money that people spend to get drugs. Like at first, they usually drink it like at a party or something, and they think, oh, there's no problem in trying, and they want to get more, and then they do it in their free time, and then eventually it just takes out all their money until they don't even have a house anymore.
Yeah, they go bankrupt, and they become homeless. And a lot of miserable things can happen. And then when you're poor, you're miserable and you don't have money to do drugs, even worse than that. So this is when people go to hospital and rehab programs and all of these things. But you see the idea here? The idea is you're borrowing, the shares are the same, but you're borrowing happiness from your future. You're borrowing happiness from your future. What's your name again? Hamika, right? Hamika. You're borrowing it from your happiness. Now, some people are rich and miserable, and some people are poor and happy. This is the story that I got to know about, is that there was a princess, Saudi princess, and she owned a a palace, a mansion. Let's call it mansion because it wasn't really a palace. It was mansion, okay? And right next to her mansion, there was a poor lady selling vegetables and things like that. And her home was just a place where she's selling vegetables. It's just like, it's built of trash, basically. Pretty much built of trash. She got stuff from the trash and put it together to build a house. Okay? And then she was happy, alhamdulillah, when she sells vegetables and make money, she said, she kisses the money in Egypt. They kiss the money like this. If they are so, they want to show gratitude to Allah. So they say, alhamdulillah. And they get to put the money. So she's so happy. When she gets, when she makes $5, she's so excited. She's so excited and so happy she made $5. Okay? And then Allah wants she had to make, to be even more happy, Allah will make her make $6 the second day. Wow! And then to test her, Allah might make her make just $1 a day. She becomes patient. Because Allah loves the thankful rich and the patient poor. Thankful rich, patient poor. Remember that. Now Allah doesn't like the
greedy rich.
Huh?
The greedy rich.
The greedy rich or impatient poor who's trying to accuse Allah. Why did he make me that way? Why didn't you miss blah blah blah? I deserve better and all of these things. So now what happens is that she's happy with very little. But the other princess, when she comes nose up. Nothing, she doesn't, she's not, things are not perfect enough for her to make her happy. She comes and says, Who did this? How come? And she is like putting a frown on her face and she's miserable. She's miserable. She's not happy. I'll give you another example. If I give you $100,000, wouldn't you be happy? But if I give $100,000 to Bill Gates, would he be happy?
No.
No. You see how it's very little can make you happy. I've never gone to a cruise in my life. Okay. So if you let me go, if like somehow I became able to go to a cruise, I would be extremely excited. It's the first extreme. So you can make me happy with just a little, with just a cruise. Okay. Now, there are people who live in these cruises for 6 months. Like they keep, they stay. They keep, yeah. This is their life. Stay in the cruise for 6 months, for example. When the cruise ends, they go into the next. When the next ends, they go into the very more next. Next, 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 you see? And they keep jumping from one cruise to another, and they stay like 6 months at the cruise. So if those guys, you try to say, okay, I'm giving you gift a cruise. Get out of here. We got a lot of that. So rich people exhaust. They always looking about new ways of fun. Always. They keep exploring everything to see something that will make them happy. Okay? They try. You can't believe what they, how much they try to find things. And then they reach to the maximum. This life can offer a limited amount of fun. Like, so they become, they run out of fun things. They run out, and then they start getting bored. I mean, I've done this before many times. They got used to it, and there's no more fun. On the other hand, not everybody has anything, has everything. For example, this guy could have a woman that he loves so much, but she's not, she doesn't want him. He tries to become her friend and she says no. And he's rich, okay? So now he can't get what he wants in this area, and in other areas he gets everything else. So he focuses on the area that he's not getting what he wants and, you know, like be sad. I am sad. So he has all of this, but he's still sad because that's one woman turned him away. You see what I'm saying here? You see the point? I mean, for us middle class, little bit of money, little bit of like a nice cruise or something like that will make us wow. For other people, it's nothing. They have been in cruises before, it's nothing. So they exhausted everything this life can offer. And then they don't have things. This is why I'm saying, let it go. I'm saying life is a matter of perception. It's a matter of perception. If you are rich, okay, how do you perceive being rich and how do you perceive being poor? Someone poor would perceive things as happy, and somebody rich would perceive things as boring. Exactly. All right? Assalamu alaikum. Leave the envelope. Give me your envelope before you leave. Okay.